As I'm sure you can imagine, the last 2 weeks for me have been quite the eye-opening experience. Let me set the scene for you. I've been in the lap of luxury, the pinnacle of prosperity known as Dubai, where wealth can be seen through the cascades of cars going down the interstate to the sea of skyscrapers. Juxtaposed against that would be the desolate desert life of the Bee people, where food can be seen as a fortune and family and community are regarded as wealth. And I couldn't help but think about these two images as I came to our text tonight. It's found in Leviticus 19, verse 10. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to turn there. Leviticus 19, verse 10. It says, "And you shall not strip your vineyard bare, neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God." If you're looking for a main theme in this text, I would say that it's God's character in his holiness and his grace and his generosity should propel us as Christ followers to be generous with this glorious gospel, both in its demonstration and in its declaration. Let me say that again. God's character of holiness, grace, and generosity should propel us as believers to be both generous in this demonstration and declaration of the gospel. So as we draw on implications tonight, I want us to see that the demonstration of the gospel should never be divorced from the declaration of it, and yet declaring the gospel has to be paramount. We can't just demonstrate it with our lives without the declaration of it so that others may hear and believe. So in light of who God is, as holy, as gracious, as loving to the sojourner, the stranger, the poor, even the refugee, and in light of who we are called to be, as 1 Peter 2 says, that we are a people called out for his own possession, two questions will kind of frame our application tonight. To whom does this gospel extend, and how does this gospel extend? To whom and to how does this gospel extend? First, to whom? Now, this verse says that we should not strip our vineyard bare. Rather, we should not gather all the harvest, but leave it for the poor. You know, we oftentimes think about this immediately in the context of those who are monetarily poor. You think about second mile clientele. And yet the end of these verses speaks to the fact that all of this grace-filled living out of the law should be summed up in loving our neighbor as ourself. And so I think this text really is calling us to realign our paradigm with who our neighbor is. Whether it's the sheikh or the ruler in Dubai or whether it's the shepherd in the desert, we need to share this gospel with all people. We see Jesus ministered to both the rich young ruler as well as the tax collector, and also the woman at the well and the poor. John 4, Jesus points his disciples away from their racist view of the gospel and calls them to lift their eyes up to the harvest fields and to see that they're white unto harvest, not just for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. He redirects Paul, as we saw this morning in Galatians, from being a blasphemer of the gospel to a bold proclaimer of the gospel. So as we consider who our neighbor is, do we step back and consider, might we be withholding this gospel from the very people that need to hear it? And are we being stingy with the greatest wealth that we've been given? We haven't sought to earn it. Rather, we've been extended this as a gift. We should always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that is within us and to share the gospel with anybody whom God may bring across our path. Many of you know that I spent 2 summers in New York City as a summer missionary with the North American Mission Board. And each and every day, I would pass by both the high-rise high rollers as well as the homeless. And I and others would walk past these people in a city of 22 million people and realize that there are people that we are passing by every day that go by unseen. Sure, I and others would acknowledge them, but would we see them with eyes walking according to the Spirit or with eyes walking according to the flesh? Just because they're wealthy doesn't mean that they're not a wanderer or a sojourner in the biblical sense. And just because they're poor doesn't mean that they can't profit from the gospel. We've been called by his grace, and so we should in turn then herald this gospel to all people. So by way of application, don't grow weary of sharing the gospel with that classmate who may seem antagonistic to the gospel. Don't give up on that wayward child who may seem to squander their life in your wisdom, in your teaching, on the ways of this world. Be bold with that neighbor, maybe who may not quite manicure their yard quite as nicely as you do, or that renter who blares music until midnight. I referenced that from a previous neighborhood I lived in. Don't categorize this gospel for only a few people, but be reminded that this gospel should save all types of sinners. And each of these examples I've just listed doesn't even touch on those that we think about in the ministry of our own context here in this church, whether it's ministering to college students or whether it's serving a young family. Each of these examples are going to call us to take a step back and consider, are we willing to be inconvenienced for the sake of the gospel? Whether that's sharing the gospel with a non-believer or whether that's living in community with those who we are in covenant community with here at UBC. So we should not only consider out of this verse to whom this gospel should be extended, but then also how this gospel should be extended. Think about what category you may find yourself in as you consider how this gospel is extended. Do you find yourself in the camp that you see that, yes, this verse does call us to serve the gospel, but maybe you aren't serving at all? Or are you demonstrating that gospel and yet aren't allowing that to be an extension then to let that demonstration open up doors of opportunity for declaration of the gospel? Or maybe you're declaring the gospel and yet your life isn't undergirded with fruit bearing in the way that you demonstrate it to match up your words. I think Leviticus 19:10 certainly does point us to the fact that, yes, we are called to serve. You see it there. It's a very fruitful and tangible and frugal way. And yet, as we think about meeting physical needs, is meeting physical needs really enough? I mean, I think this text certainly, yes, does call us to service. There are going to be those circumstances that call us to action. Maybe a neighbor moves into town, and so we go down the street and help unload boxes. Or maybe a natural disaster hits, and we send a disaster relief team to clean up the mess. Certainly, the holidays are going to bring us ample opportunities to put the gospel on display. Or maybe it's spending less on ourselves so that we can spend more on others in need. But most of us realize that meeting physical needs is not the full gospel. The gospel proclaimed through the word of Christ so that it can be heard and believed upon is what brings fruit. Max Stiles, in his book, Marks of a Messenger, says, caring for others represents the gospel. It upholds the gospel. It points to the gospel. It's an implication of the gospel, but it is not the gospel, and it is not equal to the gospel. Furthermore, all actions of kindness, compassion, and justice must be done with the hope to share our faith. Otherwise, we are not upholding the gospel. We share the good news, always open to doing good, and we do good always with the hope of sharing our faith. We never divorce the two. But to take it to another plane, if you think about it, what is our aim and our ambition when we are demonstrating and declaring this gospel? I mean, even I, who come back from a mission trip or sharing the gospel with my neighbor, have to consider, am I doing this to put God's glory on display, or am I doing it for my own self-righteousness? We need to let the glory of God both guide, guard, and ground our demonstration and declaration of the gospel. We saw it at the end of Galatians chapter 1 this morning. Upon hearing the gospel could save even the most prominent Jew, even the most reckless blasphemer of the gospel in Paul. Peter and James said that they glorified God because of Paul. You see, we've been rescued by a righteousness that is not our own. We were sojourning towards a Christless eternity, and yet God snatched us out of that and placed us on a path, and now we are sojourning towards that celestial city whose maker and builder is God. So how do we see this gospel extended? Well, I think first we do demonstrate this gospel. The text calls us to do that. But second, through this demonstration of the gospel, I think we take that a step further and allow that to open up doors of opportunity for declaration and proclamation. Third, I think we pray for fertile soil as we proclaim the gospel and as we employ people and persuade people to be reconciled to God. And then fourth, ultimately, I think we aim and ground everything in the glory of God, letting that be our highest ambition, both in our demonstration and declaration of this gospel message. Perhaps tonight we would do well to reflect on the stanzas of a great hymn that speaks about the fact that our standing is not in our wealth or even in our eloquence of words, but our wealth is found and our worthiness is found in Christ. And it's in him that we find our greatest wealth and our greatest treasure that is worth giving away. My worth is not in what I own, not in the strength of flesh and bone, but in the costly wounds of love at the cross. My worth is not in skill or name, in win or lose, in pride or shame, but in the blood of Christ that flowed at the cross. I will not boast in wealth or might or human wisdom's fleeting light, but I will boast in knowing Christ at the cross. Two wonders here that I confess: my worth and my unworthiness, my value fixed, my ransom paid at the cross.